So my name is Robert Rogers. I'm 55 years old, and I am here at Ringling College of Art and Design with my friend Markella. Markella, you want to introduce yourself?
Yeah, hi. I'm Markella Paradisus Wagner. I'm 19.
So first of all, thank you so much for being here. I've really been looking forward to this conversation. And I understand that you have something you'd like to share.
Pretty much just that I've understood that my sexuality has been fluid for a while now, and kind of like how we were just talking about, I'm not sure how to convey that to other people, and mm-hmm. Historically I've been pretty awkward about trying to tell people, so.
So that's interesting. Like, what is it that you want to tell? What is it you want to share exactly? And then we can maybe talk about, you know, why that feels awkward.
I guess for a long time I kept like trying to find people who were in the exact same situation as me, and I couldn't find a lot of it. I remember I'd be like searching people up like online and just trying to figure stuff out. Just the fact that I've been in the relationship with the same guy for a while and trying to find other people who have fluid sexualities, but no one really knows about it. So I figured if anyone hears this and they're in the same spot, yeah, here I am.
Yeah, I mean, that there are other people out there, right, that are sharing the same experience. So explain to me what you mean by fluid sexuality. Is that...
Yeah.
Okay.
I guess in simpler terms, like bisexual.
Okay.
And that I've been, like, trying different labels on, and for some reason, for a while, that label like freaked me out because I was like treating it like a resume, and I'm like, do I fit?
Like,
do I have every experience that qualifies me for that? And someone really close to me was just like, and I know this doesn't work for everyone, but this really took the anxiety away, was like, how about you just stop like trying to fit into like a box of like that and just call it fluid?
Yeah.
So that's what's working for me right now. It might change tomorrow. 2 years.
And it's interesting that there's that expectation, or we feel the expectation to identify as something. It seems like there's pressure with that. That to me personally seems like so unnecessary. Mm-hmm. However, I mean, how do you think it would be helpful to try to? Why were you trying to identify yourself or label yourself?
That's a hard question, because I used to not at all, and the way that it kind of went for me was that I didn't start thinking about like girls in like, I don't know, that kind of way until I was with a boy in that kind of way.
Uh-huh.
And so then I was like, oh, I'm just straight but weird, because like, and you would have thought I was like just completely delusional, because I thought that like bisexual meant like 50-50.
Oh, right.
And that's like the wrongest definition of it. But I guess I didn't realize I had anything to hide until it became something to hide, because my friends in high school and the same guy that I've been with have always been really great and like really supportive about it.
Yeah.
And so I would just say things and not think about it. Like, I remember, like, high schoolers ask themselves kind of like stupid questions all the time, like, oh my god, would you ever have sex with a member of the same sex? And I would, someone asked that, and I just was like, yes, yes. And they were like, oh. And I remember one of them was like, oh, are you bisexual? And I was like, no, what gave you that idea? And I'm like,
isn't that interesting?
It was
that back to that. Well, you know, and again, labels are, that's a good, I mean, I think labels can be misleading too.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, and lots of assumptions are made, and, you know, when things change, things can change, things are always changing. So you know, how you're feeling, how do you navigate the world with these feelings around your fluid sexuality?
I used to just like be really anxious about it, and I don't know who I was trying to, like, I just wanted everyone's approval. which I'm working on that. I'm not all the way there
yet. That's hard too, isn't it?
Yeah, and I would just be like, well, because for a while I really just, again, I felt like I had to fit that resume, and then I'm reading this book that's kind of like about not taking anything personally from other people.
And God, that's hard too.
That's so hard.
Oh my God.
And it said, if you like go around thinking that you're stupid and someone else calls you stupid, you're like, oh my God, they're a mind reader. How do they know?
Yeah.
And that's kind of how it was with me. Like,
you start to believe it.
Yeah.
Right?
And so I told someone kind of in like a joking way, because one of my family members, and I thought that they would just be okay and like move on, but they didn't. And they kind of like just verbally came at me and was like, no, you're not. You're just doing this all for like to be like other people and for attention, kind of thing. And so then I was like, oh my God, they're a mind reader. How do they know? So I guess recently I've been trying to drop that, because that's how I navigated it for a while. And now I guess that's why I'm doing this project, because I'm kind of like, I don't care anymore. Like, you can believe me or not.
Yeah.
I'm starting to be like, this is me. Yeah.
So why is it you think that we really, I mean, even within the queer community, right? I mean, we have those like, those labels, those identities within the community. I mean, like, and if, I guess if you think about it, wow, here we go on a tangent, right? If you think about it, it seems like we feel like we have to identify ourselves in order to be accepted within the community.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you know, we walk into an LGBTQ group or situation or environment, and it's almost like we immediately we introduce ourselves and with, you know, with our identity attached to that introduction in order to fit in, I guess.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
To be accepted by the community. But why do you think you were looking for approval so much?
I think that also just might have to do with like just partly just a character default that I have to like fix, but also just kind of where like just growing up and like kind of the household I was raised in, I was like, I still am a real like perfectionist and people pleaser.
That's how you know, I don't know what in my upbringing happened, but I'm the same way.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm not blaming anybody.
Yeah,
it's just what I guess what I chose to take from the experience. Because ultimately, especially right at this point, I mean, we're both adults, and it's like we can make our, you know, we can make our own decisions about how we feel about things. But it's interesting how, you know, our upbringings really do influence everything that we do.
And in like, I'm thinking, because I grew up and my dad was an alcoholic, and as I'm like in recovery from that, I noticed that a lot of like, not like trying to like label other people, because labels, but I've noticed that a lot of people who kind of have that upbringing have that like character trait.
Oh yeah.
And that's really interesting to me.
Oh yeah. Oh, you're absolutely right. Just almost overcompensating, being uber responsible, right?
Yeah.
Wanting to take care of everything, make everything okay.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a really, really good point. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, as you, I mean, so talk more about, you know, your experience as, but you identify as queer. Right?
Yeah, somewhere in there.
And so, well, what does that mean exactly? So help, this is where the intergenerational thing comes in, because I'm trying to understand, I mean, my generation, that word was insulting.
Yeah.
You know, felt very, discriminatory.
Yeah.
And I really love that your generation has reclaimed the word.
Yeah.
So how would you define the word queer?
Yeah, and this is where I guess labels can be powerful, because again, they can trap you, but they can free you.
Yeah.
Because it's like, you're reclaiming something, and you're like, as it goes back to, I guess, not thinking things personally. It's like, nope, like we've changed the meaning of this word, so.
That's a really good point. So I guess it, like, you know, when you talk to your peers, I mean, when did, I find that a lot of people from your generation actually identify as queer. It's interesting. I don't know. Talk to me about what that is with your generation. I mean, I think mm-hmm. it's fantastic that,
yeah.
I mean, there's an aversion to, to identifying as anything, right? In a sense, like, being non-binary, I think that that's fantastic.
Yeah.
And, am I making any sense? I don't know.
No, you are, yeah.
But are you happy with, does it make you feel better the way the situation is now for the queer community?
Yeah, and I know, like, I have a lot of privileges in my life that I'm grateful for, and I know it's not that way for everyone, but it's just, like, the fact that you're even doing this project and it's, like, can exist and start to, like, flourish, like, I think that's a really good example that, like, things are changing even though that there's still a lot of work that needs to be done.
So do you find, is it, because I actually prefer talking to younger people.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you feel about, like, you know, the intergenerational aspect of this? I mean, do you find it, what were your feelings like about coming in and talking to this 55-year-old, like, white dude? I don't know, or if that had anything to do with it, or...
Actually, not really, because I met you at that Ringling event,
yeah.
And, like, I know I was with my roommate, and we both were like, oh my gosh, you're so cool. We both just really enjoyed talking to you, like, I guess
that makes you feel really good.
Yeah, like, for me, I guess it doesn't really matter, like, your age or, like, who you are, just if you're genuine.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great way to be. Do you have the opportunity to talk to many older people, like outside family or, you know, professors or?
Yeah, taking family and professors out, not really. Other than, like, I did marching band in high school, which I always talk about this. It comes up in literally anything, but. I did
marching bands.
Yes, I swear there's a point. I'm going somewhere.
No, but, I'm interested.
my band director in high school was, like, kind of really there for me, and I guess he's, like, an adult, air quotes, and so I work for the marching band now, so I get to interact with him a lot and the assistant band director.
Oh,
so
wow. At your high school?
Yeah.
Or, oh, wow. Okay. So what, I'm curious, like, what do you do, like, just provide support for the marching band at your high school?
Yeah, I'm, like, a music and visual tech, but I mostly work with trumpets.
Okay.
I play. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Oh, very cool. So what do you think the value is, or in talking to older adults in the LGBTQ community?
You get to learn just the things that they had to go through versus what you have to go through, and know that, like, they've been there through it.
Mm-hmm.
And it also is interesting because just from talking to people, I've kind of noticed that they may have some internalized things,
yeah.
Kind of like I had coming in, which was like, I don't fit the resume, and they have the same feelings.
You're right. I mean, there's a common thread, right?
Yeah.
First of all, we're all experiencing the human condition, which is curious and amazing, and flawed. I don't know. I mean, it's just all these. It's a natural experience with some. I don't know how to explain that. For example, like with me, I grew up in this bubble. I grew up in a wildly liberal household. I never came out. Like, there was, it was just an incredibly loving, understanding household with everyone represented, you know, at my parents' house. And what was interesting, it's like, for me, it was when I transitioned out of this sort of, you know, beautiful hippie bubble that I grew up in.
Yeah.
Into the world, that's when I actually realized that not everybody was cool.
Yeah.
Like that, that people could be cruel.
Yeah.
I mean, it's interesting. Like, I wonder, like, you know, for you, do you feel, does the world feel like a safe place? Do you feel prepared to navigate the world? you know, being your authentic self?
Yes and no, I guess. Like, I feel like when I was young, I got both. Like, I feel like I had a really good childhood, but there was also, like, alcoholism there. So yeah. I feel like I did grow up fast in a way. So it was like, I got both. I got mm-hmm. the hippie bubble, but also, like, oh, the world can be this way.
Yeah.
So,
wow. That,
yeah.
I mean, that seems like that's... do you feel like it's an experience that has prepared you well then?
Yeah. It taught me a lot just about... I don't know, because when you're, like, when my dad died when I was 14, and you don't think about stuff like that when you're 14, because
right.
you're, like, I don't know, I was an interesting 14-year-old. I was, like, I just want to, whatever, I was, like, I don't want to be at home. You know, like, the stereotypical,
yeah.
like, I just want to go out.
Yeah.
I was, like, I was a little brat, but, like, and then something like that happens, and you're, like, oh, the world is not fairy tales and rainbows, at least, but not all the time.
Yeah. That's a, wow, yeah, I mean, you were young to learn that.
Yeah.
You know, to learn that life lesson or whatever and have that sort of insight, you know, into, yeah, that
mm-hmm.
life is not all, it's not all roses or whatever,
yeah.
right? It's, talking about your family, like, do you... Have you had this conversation with your mom or?
Yeah, we have. We talked. She's funny, because we were at. I forgot what it was. We were at a marching band competition, and she. I don't know what made her say this, but she was like, "I still think you're gay." I was like, "Mom." I just kind of laughed. I was like,
"You mean just randomly, like
yeah,
just out of nowhere?"
I forgot how it came up. Yeah, but I was like, ah. So. I told her, like, later, my senior year of high school, because, again, I'm, like, I can get very anxious, like, I deal with things that I do a lot, but, in, like, the relationship I have, like, with this guy, I, like, sometimes, I don't know, we're still trying to work through, like, just being immature, because we met young, but I remember I would, like, check other people out and then feel, like, guilty about it when
oh.
I would be, like, 16, and so...
Is he here? Did you guys go to school together? Or?
Oh, we met in marching band.
Okay.
So.
Wow,
marching. I told you, it just keeps coming up. But, and so in high school, I would tell her that. I'd be like, oh, there's, like, this guy that's cute, and I feel really guilty about it. And she'd be like, you need to, like, relax. Like, you're a human being with eyes.
Who would say that?
My mom.
Oh, okay.
And so I'd started to, I realized there was this girl in one of my writing classes, and kind of the same thing started happening with her. I was like, oh my god, I feel really guilty. And so I told her, and I was like, so you know the same thing that happened a little while ago where like I felt really guilty because I thought this guy was cute is kind of happening again. And she was like, oh, okay, you know, it's no big deal, you just gotta like relax or whatever, and you know, like, what class is he in? And I just kind of went along with that. I didn't correct her, and then she
yeah.
finally was like, what's his name? And I was like, Jessica, or like some really like basic girl name. And she was like, oh, okay. She was like, why didn't you correct me? And I was like, I don't know, I'm just really awkward.
That's kind of awesome that your mom like calls you out a little bit, like
yeah.
I mean, is that's probably her way of like trying to like help you understand, right, that she's there for you, right?
Yeah.
I mean, she's down with it, she wants to have the conversation.
Yeah.
So I'm curious, so the guilt is around, or the anxiety is around a feeling of betrayal, or a feeling of, like, with Jessica? is it about, you know, sexual identity or sexual orientation? I mean, being attracted
yeah.
to the same sex, or is it both, or?
Yeah, that one really wasn't, because again, I was kind of, like, again, in high school, I was kind of, like, I didn't really realize that I had anything to hide until I did. But it was just more, like, me being, like, 17 and be, like, oh, my God, is looking at someone else, like, cheating?
Oh,
but
right,
then I'm,
right,
like,
right.
I've grown a lot since then, and so I'm kind of over that. But sometimes it is, and, again, that's kind of why I was so anxious, because like being with this like dumb marching band kid that I keep mentioning, I've like I'm just, this is the happiest like I've ever been with someone. And so part of
with
me,
him,
yeah,
you mean,
and
oh yeah, that's, I mean, that's awesome.
Yeah. And so part of me, that's why I was so afraid of the label, because I was like, oh my god, does this mean like that I have to like destroy my relationship? And I was like, I don't know, I just felt like I had to choose. But recently I've just been like, oh well, I don't have to choose. I can love that side of myself and
oh, yeah.
love one person. It doesn't mean
oh,
so
yeah.
like that shame wasn't there in that specific story, but I do have that a lot. And it was like, I was like, I don't understand, like I have this relationship that's so amazing, but I'm like beating myself up over something I can't control.
So you talked to him about that?
Yeah, I talked to him about it a lot.
Oh, cool.
And yeah, I couldn't ask for like anyone better, to be honest.
So he's totally open, I mean, and like tries
yeah.
to support you and make you feel better.
Yeah, it's almost, it's ridiculous really. He's like, if you, you know, he was like, we're young and you never know where we'll end up, but if you need to figure things out, you do that. He's great. He's really
wow.
Yeah.
So are you guys like same graduating class from high school or something? Or?
No, so it's weird with his grades because he graduated high school with his AA degree.
Okay.
So then he went to college and graduated college 2 years early.
Okay.
So he's academically like 4 years ahead somehow.
Okay.
So.
But you guys are like what, only a
year and a half.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
Yeah, and everyone gets freaked out because I'm like, oh, he graduated college a couple years ago, and everyone's like, oh my god. I'm like, no. Okay. Yeah.
That's another thing that I find really interesting is how relationships, right? So,
mm-hmm.
you know, how they seem to have to, society has these expectations of what's right and what's wrong.
Yeah.
Also with like age,
mm-hmm.
which is really interesting to me.
Yeah.
I mean, I get, well, I mean, so it becomes okay once you're, you know, you're at the age of consent.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, but it's like, you know, it's interesting how we can so easily frown upon or judge
yeah.
somebody's relationship that we think or that society tells us is, you know,
yeah.
not quite right or what we know as a quote unquote normal relationship
yeah.
or what have you.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's interesting. So that's happened before though? When you say he's graduated college, people are like,
Yeah. And
wow.
And like when I have like one of those birthdays where I could have been like a year ahead or a year behind, it doesn't matter. So like I was a sophomore in high school when he was a senior, which makes our age difference sound like even worse. But it is only a year and a half.
Yeah.
There was like people from my high school got together and they were like, oh yeah, I thought you guys were 4 years apart. Jesus. I was just inventing numbers.
I know, and you wonder like why does it matter?
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
I mean, it's really interesting.
Yeah.
It seems like we have so many expectations of everything, of everybody, every situation.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I find all that really interesting. So talk to me about your writing.
Oh, yeah. I'm like...
Why, first of all?
I don't know. I just... When I was a kid, I just, like, fell in love with reading, and I picked up anything and just, like, went somewhere else. And I just, like... That's the only thing I've ever wanted to do ever since that, is write novels. So,
wow.
Yeah.
I mean, is there any particular subject matter that interests you?
Yeah, I really like, it's either a balance between like sci-fi or realistic fiction.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that's pretty much it.
So realistic fiction, what do you mean? That's
just like stuff that doesn't have magic or science, just stuff like set like right here. Like,
okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So it sounds like you really believe that writing can, and I agree with you, I mean, that writing can help you, or can help the reader really transcend a lot of things, I think, don't you? I mean,
yeah.
it's like this threshold, right? I mean, you know, it's like you walk into a book, you step into a story. It's like this.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's part of what's the main reason that I find this so absolutely compelling, because we are the sum of our experiences, and our stories are so incredibly interesting. But something that I hear a lot, which it sort of saddens me in a way, is that people are just like, will always say, you know, but I don't really have anything that interesting to say.
Yeah.
And it's like,
what?
I mean, when you, are you interested in people's stories? Do you like talking to people?
Yeah, I think people are fascinating.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to like, that's something I've been more interested in writing as well, because people like present a certain like image of themselves to others, but they're different like
all
in their
time.
Head. Yeah.
My
so
God.
I think that's a really interesting like disparity, and I want to like, I don't know, explore that in writing.
So how would you, so you're talking like, so if you're researching a book, for example, like realistic fiction, right?
Yeah.
So how would you go about finding the truth?
I guess it depends on like the subject that I'm writing about. I have this kind of, I wrote it all out in a notebook, like a novel length like thing, that actually I was planning on working on either that or something else later today. But like for that one, it would be kind of researching, it's about a girl who's like court ordered to go to support groups, so like I have a lot of just experience with going to support groups anyway, like not court ordered, I swear. But I would have to research how that works and like legal stuff like that, and then I would draw on my own experience from support groups, but then maybe talk to some people I know as well who goes to stuff like that.
Yeah. Wow. Okay, so that's okay, so this could be really interesting then. So
yeah.
You know, we're talking about so this these intergenerational conversations, right, for this project.
Yeah.
So I actually, excuse me, I actually facilitate two support groups.
Oh, wow.
So maybe what would be really great is to have you, you know, have the conversation that you have with an older person be somebody from the support group.
Yeah.
Because like three or four of them have already approached me interested in participating.
Yeah.
So that might be really great for you to talk to somebody who's in the support group.
Yeah, that'd be amazing.
You know, that could provide you with insight on many things. Because these are LGBT support groups. Loss and grief support groups, specifically.
Yeah.
And you know, it's interesting because the support group started, and what we decided to do is to have it be the broad definition of loss and grief.
Yeah.
I don't know if you and I talked, we didn't talk about this already, did we?
I don't think so.
So, and for, you know, for members of the, well, for all of us, right?
Yeah.
But for members of the LGBT community, I think it was particularly important because they come in and, you know, some of them have had, you know, loss of a spouse or something like that. But a lot of them too talk about this loss of identity.
Yeah.
Because so many of them lived closeted, like, you know, sort of cloistered for so long. I mean, in some cases, people that that remained closeted for 40 or 50 years, can you imagine, for most of their life?
I know, and I've thought about that because I know people who have done that, and I can't imagine.
Really?
Yeah.
What, so you've, I know, I think you and I talked a little bit about this.
Yeah.
Are you able to talk about that at all?
I would like to, but also I want to, like, respect the person's anonymity.
Oh, no, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, so are you able to, just share, I mean, without obviously mentioning anybody's name, but just what you took away from that conversation and how it made you feel?
It made me feel like just a lot of empathy, because like if I, like, I know like I'm young and I have a lot to experience, but if I'm like this, like I'm like working on like coming out of it, like the more recovery end, but
yeah.
If when I was going through all of that stuff and was all that torn up, I can't imagine doing that for like 45, 50 years.
Yeah.
And if just the same like cycle of like, oh, like, not like, I don't know any way to say it, not gay enough to like come out, but also like, and I'm just talking in terms of like bisexuality.
Yeah.
And then just being like, oh, you're fine if you just hide it for all those years. But like, I can't imagine that would be so painful.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's interesting. So, you know, I know you're aware of this too, but it's, you know, the bisexual community, there seems to be a lot of discrimination within the LGBT community.
Yeah.
Why do you think that is? I mean, why is a bisexual person challenged so much? Like, I don't get it.
Yeah. I think, and then, like, the answer to your past question, obviously, I didn't mean to, like, only zero in on that, because I know, like, experiences, like, very, very much. But I think maybe it's because of stereotypes like that, like, I had a friend tell me, she's like, oh, I could never, like, date a bisexual, because then I would have to be jealous all the time of everybody, and, or things just, like, maybe, because you could go your whole life, and no one would know, because
mm-hmm.
you could just pick people of, like, the opposite sex, and
mm-hmm.
no one would know.
Mm-hmm.
But that's kind of, I guess, what I was hitting at in my last answer, is that, like, that would be pretty miserable, and at least in my case, it's hard to hide, especially if you're close with someone.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's, I mean, so, I mean, it was, your relationship with your current partner would not be the same.
No way.
Were you not as honest as you're being, right?
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Yeah. It would be, I don't know, it would feel wrong. And
right.
Yeah.
I mean, it's almost like, it seems like that would eventually, that would contribute to, you know, the erosion of your relationship, I would think.
I think so too. Like, if I didn't tell him how, like, torn up I felt and how, like all the guilt and all that stuff,
mm-hmm.
I think I would have just buried it and it would have just came out in other ways.
Yeah, so. Because it will manifest itself in
yeah.
some way. And, you know, the fact that you're, you know, you may have this perception of yourself as living a lie.
Yeah.
Or something.
Mm-hmm.
Or not living an entirely truthful life.
Yeah.
Saying lies. So
no, I know, but I've said the same thing, and then I feel bad because I'm like, well, people who like are not out are definitely not lying in any way.
Mm-hmm.
But just from me, from my life, it does feel like I'm hiding something, and that's partly what made me want to do this, is because I want to tell, like, my extended family, like, we're all very close. It's like, the movie My Big Fat Greek Wedding is like a documentary footage of them. So like, everyone is very close and everyone tells each other everything. And I do feel like I'm hiding something, and I don't know how to have that conversation with them. I don't know how it would go.
Have you talked to your mom about that? At
like,
all?
Yeah.
What's her, did she just like say it, like go for it, or like?
It's like, it's a mix, cause we've had some like tough conversations about it that I think we've grown from, that were originally like, I don't see the point. If you have a boyfriend, what's the matter? Like, only some people know.
Yeah.
But then, like, we've kind of grown from that, and she even recognized, she said, like, the words, like, the intergenerational thing. She was like, my generation is just different, I guess. Like, if that's what you need to do, then, like, go for it.
Yeah.
And so, that means a lot to hear.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it seems like, you know, I've got bisexual, I've always had, I've known bisexual people, and it always, again, it saddens me when I hear, I would say 100% of them have shared stories of people being like, first of all, the pressure to decide.
Yeah.
And then being like, I don't believe you, you know?
Yeah.
How can you be into both? Like, you're
yeah.
either gay or you're
yeah.
straight.
Yeah.
Which, personally, and I don't want to be judgmental, but that
yeah.
sounds, that's absurd
yeah.
to me.
Yeah.
You know, and again, why can't we be, so that's what being, so sexual fluidity, is that, so that, again, that's what that means, right?
Yeah, at least
is it you,
yeah, for me.
Yeah, okay, okay. But back to your friend.
Oh, yeah.
So, how is this person coping with that? I mean, are they wanting to be out and be free, be liberated from this, like,
I honestly don't know. Because yeah. I know they've had a lot of recovery stuff, and they're very happy, like, overall in their life.
Oh,
so
okay.
They're mostly, like, I think they're mostly doing fine.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't know.
Do they have a partner?
No. They're like, they're free in that way. Because they're like, nah, I'm ready to be single. I'm happy.
Oh, okay. Okay, so there's, all right.
Yeah.
I mean, so they are, I mean, they're not so
no.
closeted that they're not able to...
Like, enjoy their... No.
Enjoy
no.
somebody.
Yeah.
And, okay, all right.
Yeah.
So, because I know, you know, you approached me at one point about, or you broached the subject with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm curious, what do you think that... What were you trying to do for your friend?
I guess show them that they're not alone, and, like, they don't have to be, like, they don't want to, because
yeah.
I know it can, like, I told you I was, like, trying to, like, desperately, like, trying to search for people in the same spot as me, and
mm-hmm.
I just, like, was, like, shocked. Like, I just kind of wandered up to your table and was like,
yeah.
Oh, my God, this is really cool. So I was like, I want to share that.
I'm so glad you
yeah.
did. I was like... and so what was, okay, we'll talk about that a little bit. So what resonated with you about what you discovered at the table and what you discovered through our, that, like, sort of brief conversation initially?
Yeah. Well, again, first it just struck me that you seemed so genuine. You, like, genuinely wanted to get to know, like, the people coming up to the table. And again, I told you, like, I've been, like, weary about, like, being, like, like,
mm-hmm.
in the, I don't know, whatever, community, I guess.
Yeah.
But you just seemed really welcoming, and, again, that person had literally just asked me, is there anything for, like, people of my generation? And I had looked, and I
wow.
couldn't find anything, you know.
Yeah.
There it is.
So. Yeah, I mean, that's, so I'm curious, what was, when you shared that with your friend, were they happy to know that there are resources?
Yeah.
Even if they, you know, they're not prepared to
yeah.
utilize them or access them or whatever. But
yeah.
it was good to know, I imagine.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, good. Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Maybe that's where I was trying to get to, is, like, mm-hmm. just knowing that they understand that there are resources if they're interested in.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I would honestly really love to have a conversation with this person.
Yeah, I think that
I don't know if that's,
too.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would really love that. I would like to know more about, so, like, your research for your writing, right?
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
I'm so interested in what, like you said, I mean, we present something to
yeah.
the world that's, I guess, is not always the complete picture.
Yeah.
And it's the whole picture. I mean, as you know, as you navigate somebody's story or you experience somebody's story, there's so much beauty in seeing the whole thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and I think it's interesting. I'm trying to pull this off. I don't know if I'm doing it well. But I think people who, like... Because here's me. Like, I... Like, sometimes I like to think that I'm, like, really, like, stoic and everything. But, like, I cried at How to Train Your Dragon 3. So, like, I'm, like, that kind of person.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think people who, like, say they don't cry are very interesting. So, like, I want to write a character that kind of has that, like, kind of stone face thing, and they present as, like, no, I don't cry, I don't do anything, but then at the same time have, like, very emotional thoughts, like, running through their brain the whole time. I don't know, things like that I've been interested in, like, very recently.
Do you believe that there are people that don't cry?
I don't... Yes and no, because
right?
I don't know much about, like, psychology. That might be a thing that can happen to people if they're traumatized, but, like, I think
like a physical inability
maybe,
to
I don't know.
That's
like,
really interesting,
yeah.
though.
But, like, I do think that maybe people who are like, oh, I never cry, I think they do cry, like, maybe alone, or no one can see.
Or even, right, or even, yeah. I mean, so when you say cry, I mean, could that even be something like there may be no, again, physical appearance, like, no, how do I say that, like, no tears or, but, I wonder if that could be, because are you talking about literally crying?
Yeah.
Or
just
okay,
like people
okay,
who, like, say,
yeah.
They're like, oh, I'm tough. I don't have a lot of emotions. They're all, like, I'm just interested in trying to, like, see if I can portray that on a page, which is kind of the opposite of me, I guess, since, again, I cry very easily.
Same here.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah, Luce and I actually got really emotional. yeah, we had to pause before our picture, so, our, like, I mean, it was, like, but, and, you know, that's something that I think is, I think being emotional or being able to be emotional, is a really beautiful thing. But I always find that I apologize.
Yeah.
Like if I become emotional in front of somebody, it's interesting that my default is like to apologize for it.
Yeah.
When I'm so happy for the emotion, you know, to be able to do that.
Yeah.
But then I find that I apologize. Do you do that too?
Yeah.
Like, oh my God, I'm so sorry, I'm feeling late.
Yeah. Well, I think, I don't know if this was through Ringling or through you, but they had like a coming out circle thing that you people just shared their experience here.
Here?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, and
I missed it. Because Joe Lady invited me and I wasn't able to come.
Yeah, I went just because I wanted to just kind of confirm that, like, I wanted to do this and just get, again, because I told you I'm like, I have no idea how to start those conversations, so
yeah.
I went to go see, and we ended up, like, partnering up with people and just talking, and again, I was like, I started crying, like, really hard, and I was like, oh my God, I'm sorry, and the person who was, like, my partner was like, no, it's all good, and I just kept being like, I don't know how to make it stop, sorry.
But the experience was incredible, right?
Yeah.
And it seems like you really connect when people see you for, well, again, back to your, you know, you talking about your writing, is that mining those emotions seems to be very important for you in your work.
Yeah.
So, wow. I just, is there anything else you wanna share?
Other than, like, not to be, like, a cheesy thing, but, like, I guess if anyone, like, does end up hearing this and they're like, I feel so alone in, like, anything, whether you're, like, you have, like, I don't know, an alcoholic or a death in your life, or you're, like, you're starting to be, like, I don't know what my sexuality is, I'm confused, like, you're not alone. There's at least one other person who's gone through that.
And it's really, really important to know that, I think. Markella, I, first of all, and I just want to express my gratitude. I'm so happy that you walked into my life that evening at that event. It means a lot, and I am a better person for this conversation.
Thank you.
So
that
I really appreciate
lot.
God. I mean, now I'm gonna get emotional again.
I know,
but
I know, I'm shocked. I'm not crying. I'm really shocked.
But I really, from the heart, thank you for doing this.
Thank you for having me.
I have a new friend, so and that means a lot. So thank you for doing this.
Thank you.
God, I'm doing it again.